served as the pastor of Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church in the mid-1990s. Cockrell Hill is an area of South Dallas in the middle of Oak Cliff. The Cockrell Hill Church had, back around the time of my birth, been a large and growing and bustling congregation. But by the time I had been appointed there in 1993, it had shrunk. It had shriveled up to just a shell of what it had once been. A church filled with older saints. Yes, they had big, loving hearts and a great deal of wisdom to impart, but there weren't that many of them anymore. I loved pastoring this church. They were great people, the people at Cockrell Hill, but they were an extremely elderly congregation. On Father's Day in 1994, the church was giving out boutonnieres to the oldest father present, to the father with the most kids in attendance, to the gentleman who had been a member of the church the longest, and my dad, who at the time was 57 years old, 5 years older than I am now, wow, he got the boutonniere for being the youngest father present. That kind of describes to you the situation of that particular church, how old that congregation was. In that church, we had a member named Ed. Mr. Ed. Yes, there were lots of jokes, and we used to pick on him about that horse named Mr. Ed. A horse is a horse, of course, and no one can talk to a horse, of course, unless, of course, the horse is the wonderful Mr. Ed, as the song goes and goes and goes.
Yes.
When I got there, I was warned that Mr. Ed would fall asleep in my sermons without fail, and that I should just get used to it. So I waited and I preached. And sure enough, after I'd been there a couple of weeks, I guess I got dull enough to him that he began to fall asleep in my messages. And it wouldn't have been so bad, not really, if Mr. Ed hadn't been in the choir. The Cockrell Hill Church had the pulpit on one side and the choir on the other side of the chancel. So as I was preaching, I could see Mr. Ed over there in the bass section in the back falling asleep every single sermon. Still, everybody at Cockrell Hill was used to Mr. Ed. They loved Mr. Ed. They were used to him dozing off in the middle of the sermon, and no one ever paid too much attention until the Sunday that Mr. Ed snoozing was picked up by the choir microphone. Because we had somebody pinch hitting for the regular tech guy, and he had left the microphones on in the choir. And so it started out as a little bit of a purr, kind of like a cat, you know. And then it started getting louder and louder, until suddenly it was a great big rocket ship up there, snoring loudly. So I turned around and went, shh. And I snuck up into the choir, and I snuck to the back, and I reached over, and I touched Mr. Ed on his nose. And he woke up, bam, like I'd hit him in the face. And then he grinned at me and said, "Hi, preacher." A couple of weeks later, it cured him for 2 weeks. Then 3 weeks later, he falls asleep again. And he's snoring away like a rocket ship, getting louder and louder and louder. So in the middle of my sermon, I stopped and I said, "Okay, everybody who's going to heaven, stand up." And the whole congregation stood, including the choir, except for Mr. Ed. "Okay, everybody, sit down. Now, everybody who's going to hell, stand up." And Mr. Ed stood up. He woke up just in time to hear "stand up," and up he went. And he looks around, and he looks at me, and he points at me, and he says, "Well, preacher, what you said must have been true, because you and I are the only two standing." Yeah, Mr. Ed, you got me. You got me, Mr. Ed. Oh, boy. Distracting. Mr. Ed was hilarious. I loved him. His sleeping in the sermon could be distracting at times. But his heart was in the right place. And he was a very, 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 very hard worker in the church. I would give a dozen for him in any church I've ever pastored. He was really kind of like a Martha. He was always there to do something for you. Toilet back up, he'd be there to pump it out. Tables need to be fixed, he was there to fix the tables. Lights need to be changed. It didn't matter that he was 82 years old. He'd climb a ladder to change the bulb. He was an amazing man. He was a funny man. He had a great sense of humor. He used to sing the Mr. Ed song on himself as he'd be going around the church doing odd jobs, fixing this, fixing that. He was a Martha in the life of the church. He was willing to work, to serve, to give of his all to the church. Hence, you know, his snoozing after 3-4 years there, it didn't matter to me because I knew he loved God. I knew he served God. And when I left, I thought, you know, well, maybe he heard a few of my sermons. When I left, he put his arms around me and he said, "Preacher," that's what he always called me, "Preacher, I love you. And you have told me and reminded me again and again how much God loves me. Thank you for being my preacher, my pastor, and my friend." About 10 years later, I had the painful duty of performing his funeral, but there was lots of laughter amidst the tears as people told these kinds of stories about him. Mary and Martha. Martha had her own home. She was an unusual. She was an oddity in the ancient world. She was a woman of substance and of means. She owned her own home, and she was hospitable to people, and she was hospitable to Jesus. She was part of the Jesus movement, and she and her sister supported Jesus and his disciples, were indeed part of the disciple community, and they had welcomed Jesus and his disciples into their home. Now, we hear about Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus over in John's gospel, but here we get to see them at work in the apostolic community, at work in the community of the disciples. Jesus is teaching. Mary is sitting at his feet, listening to him. How wonderful it must have been to be able to sit and listen to the words of the Master, to the words of Jesus, to the teachings of our Lord. How wonderful it must have been to sit there and ask him questions and hear the responses and to learn and to grow from his immediate presence right there in our midst. Mary got that privilege. Mary got to do that. She got to sit and to listen as Jesus taught. Martha could too. We know from later on, and over in John's gospel, we know that Martha learned a great deal from Jesus. She learned about the resurrection. She learned about Jesus' power and authority with God. We learned that she knew about the resurrection of the dead at the end of time. But here, we see her working. We see her serving. We see her taking care of Jesus, taking care of the disciples, cooking, providing food for them. And she's getting, like all of us, a little bit tired. You know, I've worked these VBSs for years. It's like she could have said, "I've worked these VBSs for years." Again? Yep. Again, she's there working. She's there cleaning. She's being a good hostess, a good welcomer. She's expressing good hospitality, which in the ancient world was extremely important. It was important to be a good host to your guests. And Martha was doing that. She was a good host to Jesus, but she was tired. And so she comes to Jesus and she complains. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Now, I understand, Martha. The going gets tough sometimes and you get tired and you just want a little help. And there's her sister sitting at Jesus' feet, shirking responsibilities to learn from the Master. And I love Jesus' simple answer. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." It's easy to become distracted, friends, by the stuff of this life, by the duties and responsibilities that we have. As a pastor, I have to fill out forms and fill out reports to go to the district and the conference office. I got to fill these things out on a monthly basis. I got to report them on a quarterly basis and on a semi-annual basis, on an annual basis. It gets exhausting. It's distracting. And it's distracting from doing the work of the ministry, preparing sermons, preaching, teaching, visiting. The distractions become easy excuses, and they were that for Martha too. "Martha, Martha," Jesus says, "you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." There is need of only one thing. And that's true for all of us, without exception. There is only one thing that we need to be doing, and that's listening to Jesus. That's learning from our Lord. That's receiving His grace. That's hearing His proclamation. And that's sharing His proclamation, His word, and His grace with others. There's only one thing we need to do, and that's to sit at Jesus' feet. Yes, we have duties to serve. Yes, we have things to do otherwise. Yes, we have to work VBSs. Yes, we have to fill out forms and reports. But my friends, there's only one thing that we truly need to do. And that's learn from Jesus, feast on His grace, and share what we learn and what we have received with others. You know what? In her work, Martha was learning. In her service, Martha was learning. In her giving of herself, Martha was learning. When we give of ourselves as teachers or workers in Vacation Bible School, we are learning too of the amazing depth of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we as a community of faith work and serve together and learn together at Jesus' feet. I encourage you, I invite you to join with Martha and with Mary to serve and to learn. To serve and grow and learn and share and give and receive the love of God that Jesus so desperately wants to give us. And not be distracted by the stuff of this life, by the things of this world, by the duties and responsibilities that we think we have. Instead, let us just be there. And if that means sometimes we start snoozing during the middle of the sermon, that's okay. Don't do it too much. That's okay. One time, Mr. Ed fell asleep. I was preaching on the clatter in heaven, the conflict and the war in heaven in one passage of scripture. So I sauntered over to the piano and banged on it a bit. He woke up. He got the point. we might be sleeping, snoozing in the sanctuary, but we're in the presence of Jesus. Let us truly be about service and learning, service and growing, giving, receiving the wonderful grace that Jesus has for us all. And don't become distracted by the things of this world and by the duties and responsibilities that are good, but instead devote ourselves to Christ anew. And we will be like those little children in Vacation Bible School, growing like sponges in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things I loved about those pictures, especially those pictures, the recanted shots, you would see some beautiful saint of the church and with years of wisdom reaching around to help a darling child with a project or a craft or in their learning. Oh, that touched my heart. To see the faith conveyed from a saint of 70 plus to a child of just a few years. Oh, may we be willing and open to being a conduit of God's grace to all God's children and not become distracted by the junk of life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and may God's people say, Amen. In your presence.